This is the Last Week in English podcast, winter semester 2019-20, week 4, with me, Mark Jacob, coming to you from the TU Berg Academy, Freiburg. My guest today, although not from an English-speaking country, spent over half of her life at a bilingual English-German school. She is a recent arrival here in Freiburg, having decided to study for a bachelor's degree in geoinformatics and geophysics. And she's kindly agreed to come into the podcast today, in particular to tell us about her first impressions of life in Freiburg and at the university. So, welcome, Carla Schoener.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So, before you start talking about Freiburg and the Berg Academy and your life here, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I was born in Munich and lived there the first couple of years. And then we moved to Berlin, to Potsdam, because of my dad's work. He's a scientist and he works at the research center there. And yeah, there I spent most of my life on a bilingual school and just graduated, spent the summer in Indonesia, Singapore, just traveling a bit. And now I'm here.
Okay, wow. So pulling that apart a little, I said that you're studying geoinformatics, geophysics here. And your father is, in fact, a geoscientist, is that right?
Yes, he is. Okay. And my mother is as well.
And your mother is as well, okay.
Yes.
So that answers the question about geosciences or not. Or did you think maybe I want to do something different?
I thought about it. I wasn't sure about what type of science, but it always was science for me, like from the beginning on. But I thought about like some quantum physics or something like that, but yeah. I was on a workshop on Helgoland for 2 weeks and worked there as a scientist, and it was really cool. So I decided to just figure out what to do. Like, it was science, but I didn't know what type of science exactly. And then I thought about what I liked and just figured out that earthquakes and tsunamis are really cool. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do something more like that. And yeah, that's how I ended up in geophysics.
Okay. And the school you went to was bilingual, I mentioned.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that? How much German was there and how much English?
We had all the classes like a normal school, like German, math. But we had every class we had in German and English as well. So we had basically double the amount of classes. Mm. And yeah, plus a second language, like German, English and French or Spanish from the age of 8.
Oh, okay, so, from an early age. And what was your
I chose French.
So it's French, okay.
Yes.
You also mentioned that you were born in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
Did you stay there long? I mean, are you Bavarian?
I'm born there and spent 4 years there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have a connection to it. Like, I enjoyed it there. Mm-hmm. And it is a good time and they like the city, but my parents are from both are from different parts in Germany as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have like a connection to it or like to Potsdam. It's just all mixed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And while you were at school then, did you have the opportunity to go to any English speaking countries?
We would have.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine spent a year in the USA, but I chose not to do.
Mm-hmm.
I spent some time in Denmark, and that's it.
Okay.
But we could have.
Yeah. But you went traveling when you finished school then?
Yes. I was in Indonesia for 1 month, and then in Singapore. Just want to see the world a bit and try something new.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did you get to see any volcanoes?
We saw one, but we didn't went there because it was far away. But we had an earthquake.
Okay.
One night, we woke up because the ground was shaking. I thought my friend is like really like dreaming really strong, like shaking and stuff. But then I realized, okay, the walls are shaking as well.
Right.
She can't be doing that.
Right.
And then I looked out of the window and every building was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It was weird. It was a very strange feeling.
Okay. Were you scared?
Yes, a lot. Because
a lot.
We were on Bali and it's a small island and it's next to the, it's called Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lots of earthquakes and tsunamis. My dad did the tsunami early warning system there. So I know like the dangerous parts of it from him and what doesn't work with like the system. And sometimes it has failures or stuff. So I was really scared all the time. So yeah, but then when we had the earthquake, we were in the mountains. So there wasn't any sight of the tsunami or anything.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And do you know what magnitude that earthquake was?
It was 5.4, I guess. So okay. This one, but it was wasn't that close,
right?
So yeah, it was okay.
Right. Obviously, Indonesia famous for earthquakes, and yeah, and the tsunami. I mean, you said it's exciting, but obviously they're very terrible things, tsunamis. Oh, what is it about tsunamis that you're interested in?
I like how you can't really predict earthquakes and the tsunamis. It just is like a field where you can always try to find something new, and it's like a super big topic, and you have to find new ways to make it more easy to cope with them. And I think that's really cool, because you can always find new methods and ways, and I don't think it will ever end to like earthquakes and tsunamis, because people live at the coast and they always will live there, I guess.
Right. So okay.
There always will be tsunamis.
Yeah. But it's interesting with tsunamis that the animals somehow sense that there's a tsunami coming. Yes.
And they can sense earthquakes as well, actually. In Japan, like 2011, I guess, the big earthquake, some animals could sense it. Like snakes come out of the ground, or cows, they get totally insane, run around and stuff like that. So they can sense it, but we can't. But maybe it's like the pressure they can feel. I don't know. Nobody knows, I guess.
Maybe there's something we can learn from the animals there. Okay, so I think I asked you why you studied geophysics, or is that right? Did you? I mean, you had some experience with it. You liked science, and then kind of
I slipped into it.
Into it. Why did you choose Freiburg?
Well, you can't study geophysics at many universities in Germany. It's, I think, 4 or 5. So it wasn't that big of a choice. And here, the university is the only one where you can study geophysics and geoinformatics. And I wanted to do something with like computers and informatics. So, well, I didn't even have a choice.
Okay, but it was the combination.
Yeah, it was the combination. But I like the university here. It was like totally one of the points where I chose it. Like, it's a small university in a small town. And yeah, that's good. Because like in big cities, you have different universities and thousands of students. And you're just a number. And
right.
Like, don't get the feeling to be a number here.
Right. And did you know anything else about Freiburg before you came, apart from that it's small and there's a personal feel here?
I knew about the mining. But that's it.
Okay.
That's basically it, yeah.
So then, what were your first impressions of Freiburg when you came here?
I was a bit overwhelmed because of all the new people and everything is different from home. But I found some friends real quick, and it got fun after like 2 days, and we were super close right away. So I really liked it. It's a beautiful town, and you can just walk around, and yeah, it's easy to feel at home here.
And how did you find your friends then? Were they on your course or in your accommodation?
They were on my course, in the math course, and they just asked me for the way, and then we spent all time together. Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, you had the same problem. Where is the lecture? Yeah. And what about university life in general? Because as a student, you have a lot more freedom, let's say, than when you're at school and at home.
Yeah, it's way different. You have to do it all by yourself. Like, nobody's helping you, but you have to start learning by yourself, and you have to find the motivation by yourself. There's no teacher who tells you what to write down and stuff. You have to take everything, like the notes, by yourself. And you live alone. Like, I've never been on myself for that long. Mm-hmm. And I have to cook for myself and clean up and stuff like that. And it's different. And you have to get used to it. It's a bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like doing the groceries shopping and stuff. Yeah.
Right. And what do you cook then? Or how often do you cook?
I try to cook every like second day, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my friends cook every evening. So I mostly just join them. And sometimes they just cook and I just eat their food. That's good because I don't have a big kitchen. It's real small and I don't have an oven. So I just have to rely on my friends and mm-hmm. they help me.
And do you eat in the mensa then, in the refectory canteen?
Yeah, every lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But in the afternoon I get hungry again.
Right.
So I need some snacks and supper and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah. And what about the workload? Because as well as all these domestic things like cooking and cleaning, then you have to study as well.
Yes, it's a lot. You definitely have to get used to it. I've never done like the household by myself, so that's new, and it's a different type of studying. Like, you have like lectures and professors talking a lot, and you just try to take notes and understand most of it. But like math is like super hard for me right now. Yeah, it's difficult, and you have to do a lot of it by yourself at home. And sometimes I'm just procrastinating and doing different things, like, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, not that easy.
Yeah.
And yeah, you mentioned professors. And what about your first impressions of professors? And you don't have to tell me any names.
They are really trying to make us not feel weird about being new here and not understanding everything. They're really chill and kind, and some of them are talking real fast and writing down real fast, and that's difficult, but they're not like dragons or anything. They're nice. Yeah.
Okay, do they know you already?
I don't think so.
No.
Like, no, I'm more like a silent person, sitting in the back of the class and
okay.
trying on my own and not talking too much.
Right. So. Do you have to work a lot in the evenings then? Do you have to study in the evenings or not just yet?
I probably should.
Yeah.
But when I'm like with my friends, we don't study and we just talk and yeah, do other things like going out or watching a movie, and so it's hard to study in the evening.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exams are a long way away.
Yes.
Well, yeah, they're getting closer. Yeah, what about these lectures? Because at school you have lessons and maybe you're doing activities during the lessons, whereas here you can be sitting there for 90 minutes kind
yeah.
of writing stuff down and listening. How do you find that?
It's different and you have to get used to it, I guess. It's hard to be focused on one topic for such a long time without doing stuff by yourself. You just have to take notes, and at some point I'm just hungry and want to eat lunch, and then I can't think of everything else. Yeah, that's hard, but I think it will get better. I hope that it will get better. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah. So the moment then you do have time, would you say, for extracurricular activities, or say hobbies, things that you can do?
Yeah.
What can you do here in Freiburg?
I'd like to do some sports, but I just usually go jogging. And right now it's a bit too cold for me to go outside at all, so I'm not doing sports. But I started at the waste tech team and like marketing and management, and that's lots of work for me right now. And in the evenings you have to meet them and talk about what you're gonna do and what you gotta do in the next week, and like the general things you have to know about it, and it's taking a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. And race tech Maybe you could explain what race tech is for those that don't know.
Yeah, so race tech builds a racing car, and then they go to big competitions in Europe and they try to win. Mm-hmm. And it got different disciplines where you have different types of different kinds of points which you have to get, and then you get a rating and like the other teams.
Okay. Yeah. And how did you hear about that?
Well, in math class, actually, they were there and presented the old car, and I thought it looked super cool and I would like to join them. Mm-hmm. So I just met them and talked about it, and they asked me if I wanted to join, and so I did.
Okay, and how did you decide to go into marketing?
I'd like to do something creative next to like physics and math. It's like all calculating and stuff, and I just want to be able to like be creative and figure something out and just work in a different way than just calculating. Yeah,
right. And
I can do it there.
Yeah, it sounds great. And what does that mean exactly then, marketing? How do you market this? Who do you market it to?
It's about like team things, like team evenings, or next weekend we'll go, it's like a small house in the mountains, and then we'll have like team building stuff, and we had to plan that, and team clothing. But we do the films on YouTube as well, or like Instagram posts and the sponsors. It's a lot of work, like Christmas presents for the sponsors and stuff like that.
Okay, and who sponsors the race tech team?
For example, Continental. Mm-hmm. It's a big brand. And yeah, I'm not sure about the other ones. Mm-hmm. I'm new to it, so.
Right, but there are some big companies sponsoring the team.
Yeah, some big companies, some small companies. It's mixed, and you have to find new sponsors. Yeah.
Yeah. And then will you have the opportunity to travel around to the races, or are you just in the office?
No, we can join for the races. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Because you can see the car driving and know that students have built it. And
right.
Like you were a part of it.
Yeah.
Although I'm not in like the process of like doing the parts of the car, but like the general thing. But it's a team.
Yeah.
We all did it and I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, that sounds exciting. And is there a new car every year?
Yes.
Is that right?
And okay. This year it's the first year where we're doing it. The car doesn't just drive on like two wheels, like the motor, but on four wheels.
Okay, four-wheel drive.
Yeah, four-wheel drive. And that's new. And I'm really excited to be part of such a huge step.
Right.
Yeah.
And what kind of motor does it have?
I'm not sure about it. It's electrical, but I'm not into the details.
But it's an electric motor, so it's electric cars. So looking to the future there, I guess, not with petrol or diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds like you're very busy there. And what about, let's say, looking to the future, a little way into the future, let's not go too far. Have you got any plans or goals for the coming year?
I just want to pass the exams, actually.
Right.
It's like the most important thing for me right now. And my friends and I want to move together in like a big house or something. Mm. And we're trying to figure out something right now. And yeah. That's basically most of the plans, to just survive.
Survive.
Yeah.
Survive. Okay. And how do you look for accommodation here in Freiburg?
Mostly online.
Mm-hmm.
There are some applications which I use. And in the Mensa, there are some things where you can put up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like the blackboard or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I found a nice apartment there and we all fit inside it. It's difficult because we're six people. So we need a very big apartment. And we just found one of that size. So I just hope that we can get it.
Okay. And then you'll be moving out of, you're currently in student accommodation.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. And how are you finding the student accommodation here?
I got a real big room, so that's okay. Mm-hmm. But my friends got smaller rooms, and some of them are really small.
Uh-huh.
And I got a big one, so it's okay. And it got big windows, so it's mm-hmm. very light. And yeah, it's lovely. It's good. Yeah. But sometimes at night, my neighbor plays music. Like 2 days ago, it was like 1 in the morning, 1 o'clock, and he was starting to play guitar. And I was like, okay, well, I just ignore it and go to bed. And then he put on some rock music, like real loud. And then he ended it. He paused it. And I was like, okay, finally, you can go to bed. And then he started singing. And he isn't the best singer. So, well, I couldn't sleep that much.
Okay, did you go and say something?
No, there? I didn't. I was like, okay, just ignore it. It's okay. Probably he's having a lot of fun with his friends and
talking of friends then, it's really great that you've made some new ones. What about back home? I mean, friends and family, how often do you go back?
I haven't been at home yet.
Okay, it's early days.
Yeah, but I'm not planning to go home before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because the connection to my home in Berlin is very bad from here, and you have to travel like 5 hours with like a train, and I don't have my driver's license yet. So I just have to go by train. And it's lots of time. My friends have moved out as well, so they are in different parts of Germany, so I can't see them. But they'll visit me in December. Some will come. My sister will visit me again, and I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. And do you miss your hometown?
Not really. I liked it. Potsdam is a real nice city. It's like the old town is beautiful. But it wasn't like that much of a home for me because my parents didn't really like it there. They just moved there because of my dad's work, but they didn't like the people, the attitude. And so I just wasn't like basically allowed to like it. It was like, no, they're weird, they're different than us. And so we never had friends from around there, just people who moved to Potsdam. And so it wasn't like a real home for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it there, the house was good, but it wasn't like, I don't miss it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about Freiburg? Would you say that was does it feel like home?
Not yet, but my friends make it feel like home.
Okay.
We see each other all the time, like from the morning till the evening. We eat breakfast together, and then after supper we still stay together and hang out. And then the only time I don't see them is when I'm asleep.
Okay.
So they're basically my new family, and spending a lot of time, and they make it feel like home here a bit.
Okay, that's nice. Could you imagine then, say, spending a semester or two in a different country later on?
I would love to. I'd love to go to South England.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to go to Oxford, but it's difficult. I need a scholarship because my parents won't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go to Paris.
Okay.
These are like my two dream things.
And what is it about Southern England? I mean, I have to say that I'm from Southern England, so it's nice to hear. What is it about Southern England?
I've been there on a school trip for 2 weeks. We traveled through South England, and I really enjoyed it. We were in Oxford, and it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the language.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It looked beautiful, and like the university was like real old, and it got this vibe, and I really liked it. Yeah, so.
No, you didn't go through Basingstoke, did you?
No.
Yeah, okay. It doesn't have quite the vibe of Oxford, but for anyone listening, please Google Basingstoke. You can have a look at my hometown. I mean, there's a big university, or maybe several universities actually in Oxford, so.
Maybe. I just try to go there.
And what about Paris then?
I really like French, and my family is part French, so I got like a bit of connection to it. And the big university in Paris is really good, and I like Paris as a city. And I always knew that I would like to go to France for a time, And after graduating, I didn't have the time to go abroad. So I just have to do it now.
Okay. And you say you've got some family in France. Then what sort of family do you have in France? Or where are they?
I don't have family there anymore because my family moved to Germany. Mm. And they just...
So in the past?
Yeah, it was in the past. And yeah, it's because of the religion of my family. Mm-hmm. And they came to Germany because they would have been slaughtered in France. So they didn't.
But we're talking centuries ago.
Yes, a couple of centuries ago. Mm. But in Germany, they have lived in a French village. Mm-hmm. Like most of the French refugees came to Hessen in Germany. And they built French villages where only French people would live. And my family has stayed there for all the time and never met any German people, I guess. Mm. And my grandpa was the first to even learn German, I guess, like as his first native language. Yeah, so.
Okay. So did that make you more interested in learning French and that history?
It was the family history was always a big part of our family. Like, where do we come from, what happened in the past, and like the traditions were always very important. Like it was very traditional for the type of family I've been in, at like a Calvinist family. Mm-hmm. So music was always very important, like being in a choir and stuff, and that still is a big thing. All of us have been in a choir, and these some traditions like this have just stayed till today, and it has been important to us to keep them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you know any French then from your family or only from school?
Only from school. Mom has learned it in school as well, but my grandpa didn't speak French. My great-grandfather decided to not teach French, and he moved out of the French village because he didn't want it anymore, and he decided to raise my grandfather in, like, not the Calvinist way, but in the Protestant way from Germany, and he just decided to ignore the past a bit, and yeah, so we don't speak French at home.
Okay, and how good is your French then?
Well, I can't really say something about it. I'm trying my best. In school, it was okay, I guess. I don't know. It's different if you're in France. I was in Montpellier, Toulouse this summer, and I could talk to the people, but they talk in a way different way than you learn in school. Mm. They have different words and like lots of slang words, and it's different. You have to get used to it.
Yeah. Okay. So you enjoy actually talking French in France with French people?
Yeah, I enjoy it. You learn a lot of new things if you talk to native speakers. They taught me lots of different words, like truc. It means thing, and they use it for everything. Mm. Like, they mostly can't remember words. Mm-hmm. That's the feeling I get. And then they just, could you hand me le truc?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You don't learn it in school.
Yeah. And how did you meet those, let's say, like real French people?
Yeah. My best friend has lived in Toulouse for the past year. So I visited her and she was working there, and I just joined her at her work and worked with her for a couple of days. And so I met some people.
Okay. That's interesting because last week's podcast guest also went to Toulouse recently. Did a bike tour in France and enjoys learning French. For anyone out there, you go back to last week's podcast and listen to that about learning French and Spanish. And speaking of languages, are there any other languages that you've learned or that you'd like to learn or can imagine learning?
When I was younger, I had Chinese classes, but I can't remember most of it. I was 14 years old. And my school was not only bilingual and a film school, but it was also a half Chinese boarding school. So we had lots of Chinese students in our school. And so we had Chinese classes and like everything like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And did you like it at the time?
I really enjoyed it. Chinese classes were really cool, and you could learn something way different from what you usually learn. But my teacher moved to a different city, I guess. So she started stopped teaching, and so I didn't take the classes anymore. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, and it's a difficult language, and it's easy to forget as well.
Once I forgot everything. Yeah, and I had some Danish.
Ah, Danish, yeah.
I was in Denmark for student exchange, and I didn't like the German people, so I just spent time with like the Danish people.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned it a bit, but I forgot about it as well, I guess.
Okay, but that's more similar to German.
Yes, it is. If you speak German and English, then it's definitely easy to understand it, and it's not that hard to speak then if you understand it, because it's like the grammar is very similar to German,
mm-hmm.
and English, it's like a mixture of it, and so it's not that hard to not understand it.
Right. I heard when you were talking about your school, you mentioned it was a film school as well.
Yes, it was.
Is that right? Not just a bilingual school and some Chinese boarding school, but a film school.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it is located in Medienstadt Babelsberg.
That's where they make German films, yeah, basically.
Right. Uh-huh. So it was a film school, and we had film classes, dancing and theater. Next... And bilingual class as well, and stuff like that. It was lots of classes then. And we learned how to produce films, how to act and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. how to cut movies. And yeah, it was nice. And we always had some projects of like filming, and for the classes we had to do our own films. And some of my friends have done some big films, like which are longer than an hour and stuff.
Okay, so like feature film length.
Some documentaries, but I never was that into it. Mm-hmm. So
okay, what sort of films did you make?
Mostly just short films,
yeah,
for like school, and some like online learning film thingies, like short sequences for like explaining things about history or something like that.
Okay. I might ask you for some advice then for us to make some films in the future for English here. And dancing as well then?
So, yes.
And acting? I mean, how is that on the stage then, dancing and acting for you?
It's not my thing. When I'm on stage, I forget about everything. So I'm not that good. I did mostly dancing. And we have like a big festival in Potsdam, and there are more like 4,000, 5,000 visitors each year.
Mm-hmm.
And we got like a big stage, and we were doing performing, what was it called? Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I forgot about everything, and I was in the first row. So everybody saw me, and I was just standing there. Everybody was dancing. And I was like, okay, good. I'm just trying to not be like the worst person alive. Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't continued your dancing career and acting career?
No, I stopped it afterwards. Okay, and I was like, I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah.
And singing, and are you still in a choir? Or?
I stopped as well. When I did my A-levels, I decided to focus more on school.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped playing cello and being the choir and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, you play the cello as well.
Yes.
Okay. Seems like you've been very, very busy
until now. Yeah, I did lots of things. Yeah, but I stopped most of it.
Yeah.
And I wish to start again.
With the cello.
Yeah, cello and horse riding as well.
And horse riding.
Okay. Yeah. But I just try to find some time right now to focus on different things, like just sleeping maybe. It would be a good start right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming back to Freiburg then, and being a student in Freiburg, what would you say to some, let's say, people who haven't done their A-levels yet, or Abitur, to call it in German, and they're thinking about, maybe I'll come to Freiburg. What, have you got any advice or something you'd like to say to them?
Come here and have a look. Mm. Once you've been here, you just like it. Before I came here, my friends were like, oh, you can't go there. It's a small uni and nobody knows it. And my parents were like, it's a good uni, just have a look. And then I came here and I totally fell in love with the city and like the university. And afterwards, I just couldn't imagine going somewhere else. So just come here, have a look at the people, at the lectures and stuff, and you just like it. You enjoy it, I promise.
Okay, I think that's a good message to finish on then. Come here and you'll fall in love with Freiburg.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Carla, for talking to us. And I hope you managed to fit everything in. And I hope it goes well with the race take and with your studies. And you do survive
this year
and thrive even in Freiburg. And good luck with your new, let's say, house or flat that you're sharing with your friends.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.